Chapter 49. Delfuenzo's house was identical to her neighbor's in practically every respect. Same exact layout, same kitchen, same windows and floors and doors. Same handles, same knobs, same bathrooms. A cookie-cutter development. There were three small bedrooms. One was clearly Delfuenzo's, and one was clearly her daughter's, and one was clearly a guest room.
"Your pick," Reacher said. "The guest bed or the living room sofa?"
"This is crazy," Sorensen said. "I just ignored two calls from my field office, probably from my boss personally, so I'm effectively a fugitive now. And you think I should sleep?"
"It's an efficiency issue. Like you said, there's a missing kid. Your people aren't going to do anything about her. The locals are useless now, therefore we'll have to deal with it, which we can't do if we're dead on our feet from fatigue."
"They'll come after me. I'll be a sitting duck asleep in bed."
"They're 2 hours away. A 2-hour nap is better than nothing."
"We can't deal with it anyway. We have no idea what's going on. We have no resources."
"I know," Reacher said. "I heard you the first time. No contacts, no support, no help, no backup, no budget, no facilities, no lab, no computers, no nothing. But what else do you want to do? The guys who have all that stuff are ignoring this whole thing, so we'll have to manage without."
"How? Where do we start?"
"With Karen Delfuenzo's autopsy, the initial results. We'll know more when we get those."
"How will those help?"
"Wait and see. You could hustle them along if you like."
"I don't need to. I know those guys. They'll be working as fast as they can."
"Where?"
"Des Moines, probably. The nearest decent morgue. They'll have walked in and commandeered it. That's how we work."
"When will we hear from them?"
"You know something, don't you?"
"Get some sleep," Reacher said. "Answer your phone if it's your tech guys, and don't if it isn't."
Reacher used the living room sofa. It was a compact three-seater with low arms, and it was upholstered in flowery yellow fabric. It was worse than a bed, and better than the floor. He stretched out on his back and got his head comfortable and pulled his knees up to fit. He set the clock in his head for 2 hours, and he breathed in once, and he breathed out once, and then he fell asleep, almost instantly. And then he was woken again almost instantly by the phone. Not Sorensen's phone, but the house phone in the kitchen. Delfuenzo's landline. It had a traditional metal bell, and it pealed slow and relaxed, 6 times, patient and unknowing. And then it went to the answering machine. Reacher heard Delfuenzo's voice on the greeting, bright and alive, happy and energetic.
"Hi, this is Karen and Lucy. We can't come to the phone right now, but please leave us a message after the tone."
Then came the tone, and then came another woman's voice. She said something about making a playdate with Lucy, and then the call ended, and Reacher went back to sleep. He woke up for the second time right on his 2-hour deadline. His knees were numb, and his back felt like it had been hit with hammers. He sat up and swiveled and put his feet on the floor. There was no sound in the house, just still air, far from anywhere in the middle of winter. He stood up and stretched and put his palms flat on the ceiling. Then he found the bathroom and rinsed his face and brushed his teeth with dinosaur toothpaste he guessed was Lucy's. Then he checked the guest room. Sorensen was fast asleep on the bed. Her face was turned towards him, and a lock of hair was across one eye, just like it had been behind her gun. One arm was up above her head, and the other was folded defensively across her body. Half secure and half insecure. An active subconscious. A conflicted state of mind. He was wondering how best to wake her when her phone rang and did it for him. The plain electronic sound, thin and accusing. One ring. Two. She stirred, and her eyes opened wide, and she sat bolt upright. She fumbled for the phone with sleep-numbed hands and checked the window.
"Omaha,"
she said. 3 rings. She said,
"I can't ignore it anymore."
4 rings. She said,
"I'm kissing my career goodbye."
5 rings. Reacher stepped over to the bed and took the phone from her. He pressed the green button. He raised the phone to his ear. He said,
"Who is this?"
A man's voice in his ear said,
"Who are you?"
"I asked first."
"Where did you get this phone?" "Take a wild-ass guess." "Where is Special Agent Sorensen?" "Who's asking?"
There was a long pause. Maybe the guy was hooking up a recording device or setting up some kind of a GPS locator. Or maybe he was just thinking. He said, "My name is Perry. I'm the Federal Bureau of Investigation special agent in charge at the field office in Omaha, Nebraska. In other words, I'm a very senior federal law enforcement officer, and I'm also Agent Sorensen's boss. Who are you?" Reacher said, "I'm the guy who was driving the car in Iowa, and right now Agent Sorensen is my prisoner. She's a hostage, Mr. Perry."